Go and get a potter's earthen flask. Take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you. Okay, what's a potsherd? It's a broken piece of pottery. It's like a shard, we would call. We would say there was a shard, and I believe that's probably where the word is derived from. Potsherd. It's a broken piece of pottery. It's the slivers. It was called that before this event. It was almost like it was kind of like set before that this illustration was going to be made here. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom is another important thing to understand. The number one thing that this would be noted for, this was like the big trash dump, and this would have been the place where things were burned later on that Jesus pointed to. It's called Gehenna. And he compared this place to what hell is like. It was like the worst thing on earth that he could compare it to, so that he just said, hell is like that. It's the place where the fire never goes out and the worm never dies. It was the place where they took dead things and refuse and broken things and trash. It was their trash dump, and they would take it and they would put it there, and there was always a fire going. There was always things rotting. It always stunk. It was always terrible. One of the reasons why it was reserved for that is because of what they were actually doing there before. And that's what we're going to see today. He says, go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. Because they have forsaken me, made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal. They burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Do you think that God had somehow or another not noticed that they were doing this in the centuries that they had been performing this activity? He had always noticed. He'd been patient. Don't mistake God's silence and his patience for agreement. God has been patient with us. We need to say thank you, Lord, and we need to repent. And we live in a time when multiculturalism has turned into we must accept everyone else's religions. We must accept them as being completely equal. Do you realize that Satanism is on the rise? Open Satanism is all over. You can, if you know anything about, you know, symbols and things like that, you can begin to see that many people are displaying these things. A lot of it's culminating in very popular within the entertainment industry, I hope you know. It's not a new thing. It's just becoming a lot more open thing. Did you see who Taylor Swift was hanging out with at the Super Bowl? An absolute known, out and loud and proud about her Satanism, another artist, I don't even remember her name, someone else can probably help me out with it, But if you look at Taylor Swift's music herself and you start reading the lyrics to her new songs, it's becoming more and more dark. She's going down that road. You need to protect your sons and daughters from that. When you see that label, you just say, no, we don't have that in our house. We need to take a stand against things that are unholy and people that are following after things that are unholy. Do you realize if you do patronize something like that, you are funding their activity? I've heard people say, well, I'll watch the movies, you know, but I don't really pay attention. There was just that one part. Or there were just those two parts, but I looked away. No, you paid money for it. You made it more popular. When we watch the certain YouTubes or whatever that may be, you are paying for it. You are helping those people become multimillionaires that are then turning around and giving their money to the campaigns of the people who support this. And until we get it and say no to it, we are complicit with it. I know that in our country of religious freedom, we don't force people to be Christians, right? But they're forcing the Christians out of every area of public life, and we need to say no. This country was built and founded on Christian beliefs, even though we didn't do it perfectly. Nonetheless, Christianity was the foundation. Go and look. Have anybody been to Washington, D.C.? Have you ever been there? Washington, D.C.? When you walked around Washington, D.C., anybody? I've got maybe one or two. Okay. See some depictions of Moses and the law? I forget how many are carved in stone. It's amazing. How many of you have been to the state capitol building? You see things like carved into stone about a biblical foundation, but you see at the Capitol building, it's mixed with these other gods and goddesses right there on the outside. They have this crazy statue on top, and it's to some false god, and they have these other ones to the gods and goddesses of the river. You see, we've allowed this mixture of things that is actually going to spoil. Do you think God's okay with that? Are those other gods real? Not at all. They're demonic counterfeits. And we're just displaying that before the one true God, and it's wrong. And we could say, well, who am I to judge? It's not me judging. It's the Word of God. And it is true. And what God says is, you see the pot? I'm the potter. And when I say to break it, it'll be broken. Do you think in that trash dump at the potsherd gate, do you think they put the pots back together later? No. They were destroyed without remedy. He's giving them the information for the reason that he's doing it. And some would say, well, boy, that was just unfair that God would destroy an entire nation like that. It was so terrible the way that he allowed the Babylonians to harm them. Guys, he gave them a way out. The way out was repentance. He's given us a way out. Our way out is repentance. If we refuse it, it's our fault when we're judged. It's not God's fault. He's trying to turn us back even today. He allowed us to see an overturning of Roe v. Wade, and we celebrated, but it went back to the states and what's happening now. 7 states have already have allowed it to be put into their constitutions to make abortion without any limits a constitutional right in their state, and we are next. November's the date. The November election will decide in this state whether or not we have fully legal, on-demand abortion in our state without any limits. You know your 48-hour waiting limit that we worked so hard for? It would be cast out with this one move. There will be zero limits on abortion. They can build as many abortion clinics in our state as they like, and they can do it on children without the parents' permission. I'm telling you, we must stand up and we must be heard. This must be a primary thing, because God says it is. God says it is. And you may say, well, he's just being over, dramatic about this. It isn't going to be that bad. Ask God if it's that bad. He destroyed his own chosen people over it. He said so. He took them out to the very place where they were doing it. And he said, this is why I'm going to destroy you. You must repent. He said, it was once called Tophet, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but it's going to be called the Valley of Slaughter. I will make void the council of Judah, verse 7, and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city desolate and hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of its plagues. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. Does that make you sick? It's supposed to. You know what he was saying is, I'll take away their conscience. I'm going to make them be so desperate whenever they're besieged, and they will have zero conscience. You know why you have a conscience? You know why that makes you sick? It's because God put something in you that makes you sick over it. If he takes that away, you won't be sick over it. No, a zombie type thing is that's actually a counterfeit of the resurrection. Satan takes the resurrection and he says that the dead become like that. But really, we're going to rise up to eternal life. We're going to be fully alive. We're not going to be the walking dead. He's trying to steal something that belongs to God. No, this is saying that you would take your own child, and for your own survival, you would ingest them. I'm sorry to be graphic. It's cannibalism. I'm sorry to be graphic, and I know that it's very ugly, but it is the word of God, and he's warning them before it happens, and you know what? They didn't repent. It happened. They became so selfish. They wanted only their survival, to the point that they were willing to do such a horrible thing. Well, let me ask you, is abortion that much different? I want my success, so that's why I'm going to do this. I want my survival, so that's why I'm going to do this. I'm afraid, so that's why I'm going to do this. We've produced a culture where we say that that's okay in certain circumstances. And even the church has been silent. Yes. I can give you a list of the vaccines that have been grown in aborted fetal tissue. I just want you to know that. They're still being grown in it today, and now they're trying to come up with new lines because, you see, I'm 55, and you notice my hair is getting gray? You notice the certain cells are changing, this hair isn't coming back like it used to be? So it's because our cells don't replicate properly at the same rate anymore. We start getting changes of information. We lose information. That's why as we grow older, our skin isn't what it used to be. A lot of things don't reproduce like they used to. And you know how I can prove those are a real person, that they have those cells? They're about 55 to 60 years old now, those cell lines. And guess what? They're doing the same thing. They're not reproducing the same way. They're not getting the purity of the strain of cells that they used to get from them. They tell you that they're not really the same person anymore. Then what person are they? My cells have reproduced multiple times, and I'm still John. I was John whenever. I was the same person in my mother's womb. Would you not argue that? I was the same person when I was born, and my mom held me. I'm still the same person today. But praise God, I'm born again now. I'm a newer, hopefully better version. Still the same person. DNA-wise, I'm the same person. Everything about me is still that same DNA. So you know what I know? Those cells that they took from that little baby when they killed it to take its kidney cells to make the cell line that you're mandated vaccines are being grown in, that even our International Mission Board says you have to take to be a missionary in the Southern Baptist Organization. Do you know that they are being created in those cell lines of those babies' kidneys? And since they are getting worse and worse in these strains and these lines, and they're not replicating the same way they want them to, they're killing more babies to get them. They're starting new lines. And there are organizations that have gone to court to get the records of these places, and the University of Pittsburgh is one of the largest ones that is seeking to make the next cell line their school of medicine, and they are cooperating and encouraging more and more abortions in their community so that they can get more and more cells. And they were up to over 200 tries of this one particular cell, and their individual that harvests the cells' nickname is Butcher Boy. They make jokes about it. Well, do you realize they can't use the human kidney cells after, if they take them after the baby has already died? They have to take them while the baby's alive. And you see, we don't talk about it because it's ugly. We don't want to go around thinking about bad things, but it's happening every day and we should stand against it. Do you know I've stood against it since 2019 with our International Mission Board, and they will not listen to me, and they will not get another penny of my money. I will not support another missionary with the Southern Baptist Organization until they admit that's wrong and they stop forcing people to do it. I applied as a missionary, and they shut us down. They said, unless you take all of these different vaccinations, you will not be allowed for your application process to continue on. And I said, I will not do it. Well, they sent me a letter from the Catholic priest to let me know it'd be okay. I don't have to feel bad about it. You know what I told them? You shouldn't be listening to the Catholic priest. You need to be listening to God. And if you want to see real mission work being done, you should be sending out people with a clear conscience before God, not people trying to talk into defiling my conscience. I will not take those vaccines. That's right. And that's exactly what I told them. I said, I don't need you. You need us. And you need to repent. And you know, they still haven't done it. This is 2024. They are still conversing with me on this because I keep writing them more and more emails. I keep sending them more and more information. Last I heard, their head doctor of the IMB medical team was going to call and have discussion with me, try to show me how I'm wrong. So I sent him all the information on those new cell lines because he told me there's only old cell lines. And I said, you need to have him study this. If he's a doctor, he should know. I said, make sure he studies this before he calls me. Still hasn't called me. You know why? Because he knows he's compromised. You see, what we've got to understand is God sees those people and he cares about them. And he wants us to care about them too. Listen to what he says. I'll make this city desolate in a hissing, verse 8. I mean, this was the city that was such a joy to him, Jerusalem, the city of peace. He still has a plan for it, but for a time, he allowed it to be destroyed. 70 years they were in exile, 70 years of sadness. Do you know that the Jews still cry over the 70 years that place was lay in destruction and disgrace? He said, I'm going to make the city a desolate and a hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of its plagues. And then he pronounces that I'll cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege. And in the desperation with which their enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you. and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again. They shall bury them in Tophet, till there is no place to bury. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like this place of Tophet, because of all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the hosts of heaven and pour out drink offerings to other gods. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all their towns and all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words. You know what he's saying? I warned you. I've been patient with you. And rather than bowing your head in humble repentance, you have stiffened your neck to continue in your path. And because you've done that, I'm going to have to destroy you. Now, I want you to know this, you know, each one of the people of this area stood before God to give an account for their own life individually. You're not, your eternal salvation is not necessarily wrapped up in what your nation does, but you will be affected, believe me. Now, on the other hand, how you deal with and respond to the things that are going on around you is your responsibility. Is it your responsibility to tell the truth to people? Absolutely. Is it your responsibility to affect change in whatever way you can? Absolutely. Some people have made like a double life, and I have my dual life. I'm a Christian over here, but this over here, I can do whatever I want. Because this is kind of like my personal and my professional life over here. No. You see, when you come to Christ, he owns it all. There's not the holy and the secular. It's all supposed to be sanctified at that point. It's all supposed to be set apart for him. We really need to know that we are responsible for how we deal with things. And we need to pray for the good of our nation, too. You know, it is for the good of our nation that we have a strong Christian church. That's not just good for us, just alone, right? I can tell you, you know, what we do here in this church is standing for certain things, and really, you know, I don't necessarily myself feel really awesome about it, having to stand, you know, at times and gatherings where pro-life gathering type things. You know, sometimes I feel like, wow, you know, I feel like that others are going to look at me and think I'm judgmental. I don't like to be thought of as being a judgmental person. But guys, we're trying to save children that can't speak for themselves. We're trying to save a nation from going over a cliff. It's satanic. Just like what they're doing here to Baal, they're giving these offerings to Baal, to Moloch, and all of this. We just got different names, same gods, same false gods, different names. Comfort, success. I read a bio on, I don't know how many of you guys know about Fleetwood Mac. You know, it's an old group from a long time ago. They were really popular. Rock band, and their one of their lead singers was a lady named Stevie Nicks. I read a bio on her. Right in her bio, it says that she decided she wanted success more than the child that she was carrying, so she had it aborted. Just loud and proud, right out there in front. And I've seen recent interviews with her, and she's a very sad person. Said in her family, she's known as the crazy aunt to her nieces and nephews because it's really all she's got. So what do you think? Did she make a good trade? I'm not here to judge her. I hope she repents. I pray for her. Ever since I read that, it just kind of haunts me to remember to pray for her. But how about the next generation? Do we want to try to protect them from doing that? I do. Because they're being lied to. See, it ain't just a choice. It's a child. This wasn't just a choice they were making. It was an offense to God. And he held them responsible for it. You know, the Obamas and the all these others, you know, I'm going to protect this right for my daughters. Oh, God, help us. Protect your daughters from that so-called right. You know, even if a baby is brought about through in a situation that isn't necessarily good, you know what? God still has a good plan for the baby. It doesn't make the baby worth less. And I've had people say, oh, well, you just want to bring them into these horrible, orphanages. Oh, that is so untrue. I have known so many people that wanted to adopt children, but they make it so hard. They would adopt those children if they had a chance. Make it easier for them to get into the life and be able to adopt the child, right? And what about the ladies like Stevie Nicks that have made that choice? You know, they say that like at least 1 in 4, sometimes in some areas 1 in 3 women have made that choice. Don't you think they're hurting? Don't we want to bring healing to them? Just admit what it is and say, honey, Jesus will forgive you if you'll just repent. But you see, you can't repent if you keep trying to say it was right. If you keep trying to just make excuses, then you can't find forgiveness. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, preacher, you shouldn't talk about that up there in front of everybody. That's wrong because you're going to hurt somebody. You know, I've had multiple people come to me and admit to me that they were involved in those and ask me to pray with them so that they could find forgiveness. They didn't tell everybody else, and I didn't tell everybody else, but I want you to know, truth brings hope. Hiding it is going to bring destruction. They tried to hide it here. Well, what was happening to them? They were just that close to being destroyed. And God was telling them, because if they would have repented instead of stiffening their necks, God wanted to save them. Do you think he wants to save America? We got to quit celebrating the things that he hates. Did you see the boxer so proudly getting his gold medal for beating up women? It really made me sick. Not that I despise him. I mean, God help him. I am really saddened for us that we have come to the point that we think that's okay. Applauding. In Olympic sport, and we gave a man a medal for beating up women. There was a time, not too long ago, that would have never been acceptable. It's how far we can slide when we just say nothing. I really think it's time that we have to say something. We just have to say the truth. God created them male and female. Every molecule in their body screams it. You can mutilate a couple things of the flesh, but I'm going to tell you, you can change some hormones, but you can't change DNA. DNA is always going to be what it is. And you know, I've heard of people that regretted it later on, and because they had some folks that just wouldn't go along with it. They lovingly would say, I'm sorry, I just can't. I love you, but I just can't do that. Because I love you, I just can't do it. And when they came to their senses, they knew they had people that loved them. You know, don't be unkind. Don't be hateful. Let's not call them names. But let's be truthful, because they actually need it. Everybody needs it. We all need truth. You know, if we are doing, any of us is doing something particularly sinful and wrong, let's be truthful with one another and say, hey, that's not the way God would want us to do that. Let's be willing to be humble and repent when we see it. We got to be careful that we don't just like get on our own soapbox about things that get on my nerves, you know, and think that, try to put a biblical stamp on that. Make sure that the things that you're really passionate about standing for and against are biblical. Because then we're doing what God's will. And by all means, for people to come to Christ is the number one need and cure for the problem. Do you share Christ with others? Do you share your hope in Him? You may feel really lame when you do it. It may feel really unnatural at first, and it may come out sounding kind of weird, but I can tell you to say something is so much better than saying nothing. Because if you say nothing, they're going to hear nothing about Jesus. I shared with a man who looked at me like I had, you know, a third arm sticking out. He had been a friend of mine for a really long time, and I wanted him to know about the change that Christ had made in my life, and I thought, walked away from that. I was telling my family and the youth group about this, and you've probably heard me talk about it, but I want to reassure you of something. It was lame. I did a horrible job. I was embarrassed, and I felt very uncomfortable, but I told him about what had happened to me, and I waited for him to respond. I expected him to give me some input, and he said nothing. He looked uncomfortable, and I got up and I walked away and I went back out to my log truck. This is somebody I saw every day. He bought my logs off of my truck, and I got back in my log truck and I had to drive by myself for 35 minutes thinking, man, I'm such a fool. I did such a bad job. I look stupid. 12 years later, I got a phone call after I didn't do any business with him after some time anymore. Next time I saw him, he just acted like nothing happened. He tried to be nice. We both felt uncomfortable. 12 years later, I got a phone call. I hadn't talked to that guy in years. He says, Johnny, is this you? I go, yeah. He goes, it's John George. I go, awesome, how you doing? Haven't talked forever. He said, I just wanted to call you. He said, It was hard for me to find your number, but I finally got your number, and he said, I just want to call you. I drove out to your mom and dad's house and got your number from them. And I just wanted to tell you, you remember that time that you talked to me about Jesus? He said, I realized while you were talking to me that I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And it made me really uncomfortable. But he said, it made me know that I needed to know Jesus like you knew him. And he said, I'm a Christian now. Guys, I can tell you, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than to sit around and try to protect myself and nobody ever hear about Jesus. We just got to be honest, and we need to tell them what we know, and I don't know it all, but I can't wait till I know it all to say something. So just tell them what he's done for you. Tell them who he is. Take every opportunity to do that. I don't do it just with everybody. I don't chase people down the street and try to knock them down. You know, if I look at them, I say hi, they look away, they won't give me the time of day. If I had a tract, I might hand it to them if God still leads me to. But the people I'll talk to are the ones that will allow me to. You know, I tried to do the Chuck Norris witnessing there for a while. Kick the door open and go on in. It don't work. You know, you got to make sure that, like, you're getting a connection with them. Let God be the one to start opening some channels to be able to work through. But, guys, don't walk away without trying to take an opportunity to point to Christ in some way. The world needs Jesus. That's why they're hurting and so confused. And we're the ones that have the message. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't want to hear this last part said of us, because they have stiffened their necks, and that they might not hear my words. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us not to stiffen our necks so that we don't hear your words. Help us to be passionate about the things you're passionate about. Help us to love the things that you love. Help us to hate the things that you hate. And yes, the Lord does hate some things. We can see that. You show us. Help us, Lord, to base our morality in your word. Help us to be a good witness for you in this culture. This world needs Jesus. Use us. I pray that every one of us sitting in this room would win at least one soul and point them to Christ. We know we can't save them, but I pray we would be soul winners. The Bible says those who win souls is wise. The one who wins souls is wise. You save them, but we point to you. So help us, Lord, to be soul winners. And I pray that every one of us would win at least one person to Christ this year. Really seek to do that. If we look at this room, we've got 20 or 30 people in here. Wouldn't it be awesome to hear about 20 or 30 souls added to the number? Oh, praise Jesus. Would you do it, Lord? I pray you will. And I pray we'll be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.